John chapter 10. And as you do, I just want to say welcome, especially to those who are going to be taking that step of faith next Sunday in the waters of baptism. And right after the service, we are going to be meeting together to discuss. I know there are some who are away for the March break, but today we rejoice with Bowden and Louisa and Alex and Hannah and Sarah and Suri. And of these six, four of them are teenagers. And so we're so thankful today. So keep these in prayer. Some have known the Lord a while. Others have just recently come into faith, and they're taking that next step of faith and obedience. And we are so thankful today for them. Praise God. John chapter 10, and I have to be honest with you, it doesn't always happen, but every once in a while, I will be approaching the pulpit with fear and trembling, not because I'm unsure of what my task is, not because I'm not confident in God's word, but sometimes it's very rare where I come and God's given me two messages. I'm not going to preach both of them. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, I've got a roast beef at home, and no. So I just like to right now just take a moment and just be quiet before the Lord, because I just like to ask the Lord and ask you to pray with me. God, help us to hear your word this morning and the word you want to share today. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, your word is anointed, your word is inspired, your word is infallible, your word is good and perfect. It is good for instruction, for righteousness' sake, for correction, for encouragement, for teaching. Lord, I thank you for your word today. And Lord, as I have been commissioned by you to share and to teach your word, Lord, there is so much that is upon my heart. And Lord, I know there is so much that you want to share with your people today. I pray, God, that you would help me to give clarity to your word. Lord, that I would speak with confidence that you, what you have laid on my heart. And Lord, that we would hear your voice of compassion calling us into your presence today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God. In John chapter 10, we began last week, and it's a good thing if I'm in the right book. Last week, we were in this chapter in the first 10 verses, and we were looking at the third of our I am statements. Jesus gave seven I am statements in the Gospel of John, at least seven that John records. All of these statements are indicative of who Jesus is. He is stating in no uncertain terms that he is God and that he has a word for his people. He has a word for his people Israel. He has a word for us today, his church. He has a word for the people who live in Sydney and in Victoria and in Vancouver and in Toronto and across this nation. He has a word, and he wants us to know that he is the I am that I am, and we can trust him. We can trust him to give us our daily bread, for he said, I am the bread of life. He came to give us everything that we need. He came to show us the way. I am the light of the world. He came to reveal not only the darkness that is in our world, but he came to show forth the light that would bring people to salvation and to healing and to hope and to everything that he has for them to be. Last week we looked at Jesus saying, I am the gate, not a gate of one of many gates. No, he is the gate, the door to the sheep pen, where his sheep find salvation, safety, and satisfaction. For Jesus said, for all those who come to me and remain in me, I will give to them life, abundant life, eternal life, everlasting life. Out of their inmost being will flow rivers of living water. But how many know that sheep left on their own are going to wander? Sheep left on their own, if they see that gate open just a crack, they're going to try to find their way out. Sheep, if left on their own, get bored. Sheep left on their own are curious, and they want to know what's on the other side. They want to get out there. And they think that, oh, it'll just be a little bit. I'm not going to wander that far from the shepherd. But before you know it, that sheep wanders and becomes lost and becomes fodder for every predator that is out there. And to that person, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10 and verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. It does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. We are looking today at the fourth I am statement. I am the good shepherd. Not a shepherd, not even the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, we use that word good in several different ways, don't we? Sometimes we speak of something being good in a moral sense. But other times we speak of something being good in quality. For example, when we speak of an athlete or a good pianist or a guitarist or a good teacher, we don't necessarily mean that they're morally good, but rather they're good in quality and expertise. They are good at what they do. They're a good musician. They are a good athlete. They are a good teacher. The athlete excels at his sport. The good pianist plays the piano with excellence. The good teacher not only conveys information, but conveys it in such a way that transforms the thinking of their students. And that's the way this word is used here. It's a word that means good in quality. It can even mean good, handsome, or excellent. So when Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, what he is saying is that he is the most excellent shepherd. He is the preeminent shepherd. He is what shepherding is all about. He is the beautiful shepherd, the ideal shepherd, the perfect example of what a shepherd should be. Warren Wiersbe says it so beautifully. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd because he is the genuine shepherd, in contrast to the false shepherds and hired hands who over the centuries had exploited God's people. You see, for there to be a good shepherd also implies that there are shepherds that are not good. And throughout chapter 10, Jesus gives examples of those kind of shepherds. For example, at the beginning of chapter 10, he talks about the thieves and the robbers who seek at night to climb the wall of the sheep pen to take the sheep as their own. They are not true shepherds. They're there just to get what they want. Then there are those shepherds who look like shepherds, who sound like shepherds, who talk like shepherds, who even smell like shepherds. And Jesus calls them thieves and robbers, and specifically, Jesus is referring to the Pharisees and religious leaders who were looking to make sure that the people were listening to them and no other, because they were the ones that were the depositors of all truth. Then Jesus introduces a third individual, the hireling. The hireling is actually a shepherd. He is someone who knows what the truth is. He or she is someone who is well-trained in conveying and prepared to look after the sheep. This is a person who understands the importance of the sheep, but they're a hireling. They're hired to do a job, and they work from 8 to 5. They clock out, and they don't think about the sheep until the next day. These are the ones who they really have no vested interest in the sheep personally, to the point that should a predator come, a wolf that would want to destroy the sheep, he may be prepared there to whap one wolf, but if two or more, a pack comes, they're out of there. That's a hireling. Someone who knows the walk, who talks the talk, but really doesn't understand what it means to be a shepherd. And at the end of the day, leaves the sheep to the claws of the wolves. Which brings me to the fourth danger that sheep are prone to face when they go and wander. The enemy, the wolves, the predators that are there to seek, to kill, and to destroy the flock of God. Those precious sheep, whether they are young or old, they are there to destroy them. We could describe them in many ways. I would like to suggest to you, when Jesus talks about these enemies, he could very well be talking about Satan himself and the way that he goes about to try to destroy our young people, to destroy marriages, to destroy lives through addictions, to destroy lives through ways of that take them away from God. And folks, We are living in a day when we need to be so careful to who we listen to whom we are following, because each and every person here is following a shepherd. Believe it or not, understand it or not, you are following a shepherd. And that shepherd is either leading you to life and life eternal, he's leading you in life abundant, or he or she is leading you to destruction, to addiction, to a life that is far from what God wants you to live, to be, and to hope in. By contrast to all of these, Jesus says he is the good shepherd. How is he good, the good shepherd? He is the good shepherd who knows his sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. He does something that no other shepherd would do nor can do. Not only does he give his life for the sheep, he does it not for his own benefit, not to be a martyr, but he does it for the sake of the sheep. And not only does he give his life for the sake of the sheep, Jesus says that I take my life up again. And next Sunday, we are going to turn and we are going to listen once again to how Jesus has taken up his life, how he has risen from the dead, and how that impacts us now and for eternity. Oh, there is no shepherd like our good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? I'd like you to just turn quickly to Psalm 23. There are many teachers that I read in studying this passage who felt that Jesus could very well have been alluding to this psalm that was so familiar to the ears of shepherds. After all, this was David's psalm. This was David's shepherd psalm. David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. And he knew what it meant to follow the good shepherd. In fact, when David puts himself in this psalm, he doesn't talk about other sheep. He talks about himself. The Lord is my shepherd. And I want us to understand something. We are all sheep, and we all need a shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? Well, the first thing that the good shepherd does is that he guides. In verse 3 of Psalm 23, David writes, "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The Lord guides me." You may be here today and you're facing a big decision and you don't know what to do. He is your good shepherd, and he guides you. Verses 3 and 4 of John chapter 10 reflects this in this verse. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. As I mentioned last week, the Middle Eastern shepherd is different from the Western shepherd. The Western shepherd that you will find on the prairies or in Europe drives the sheep. Quite often the flock would be so large that he may have one or two sheepdogs, or even someone told me they had goats that would be there to guide the sheep. Apparently goats are smarter than sheep. Go figure. Just as stubborn, but smarter. The Middle Eastern shepherd, by contrast, would walk before the sheep. And the sheep would follow. Sometimes they would walk and wander over. They would see a bush over here that looked very interesting, and they would wander off, and the shepherd would look and say, "Rusty, over here." And the sheep would hear the voice of its shepherd and would come lovingly back to the shepherd. Why? Because the sheep knows the voice of the good shepherd. The shepherd guides the sheep. Oh, this is so powerful. Listen to this. I know we've heard it before, but we need to hear this over and over and over and over. When we look on the internet, on TikTok, on Instagram, wherever we're looking, there are so many voices vying for our attention. There are so many voices and people wanting to consume our money and our lives, and we need to be ever so careful who we are listening to. Jesus said the sheep know and recognize the voice of the good shepherd. And you might be here and you might say, "Well, Pastor, that's good for you. I mean, Pastor Ralph, you are the shepherd. You're the shepherd of Highway Church. We expect you to hear the voice of God. That's why we're here on Sunday, so that you can tell us what the voice of God is. Friends, if that is why you are here and you are only coming once a week to hopefully hear God's voice, you're not going to hear it. You're going to hear it when you leave this service this morning, where God has spoken to you from his word, and you go back home, and in prayer, you wrestle over the word and what God is saying to you, because God wants to speak to you. How does he speak, Pastor? Does he speak audibly? While it's never been my experience, I have heard testimonies of that being the case. But I want you to be careful if you're waiting to hear the audible voice of God. In the Bible, when God spoke audibly, it was just before judgment. There are many ways that God speaks. God speaks through other people. God speaks through godly friends, elders, and pastors. God speaks through circumstances. How many of us have been diverted from making wrong decisions because God, by his grace, put circumstances in our way to make sure that we didn't ruin our lives? But the number one way that God speaks, my friends, is through his word. And this pastor will never apologize from preaching his word. But my friends, listen to your shepherd, listen to your pastor today. As I said, it's not enough just to be here for an hour on Sunday or even another hour in a small group. We need to take that time, however we take it, in his word, to pray over his word and ask God, God, speak, what are you saying to me from your word today? So if you're having to make a difficult decision, a job in another city, marrying a particular person, dating a particular person, young people, whatever decision you're having this morning, I want you to know that Jesus said he is the good shepherd. He will guide you. That's his job. We can trust him. We can follow him. Not only does he guide, he provides. Our good shepherd is the one who provides our needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice the first thing that the good shepherd does is he feeds us. We lack nothing. But to be fed, we have to rest in him. We have to be where he is. We can't be running around going from here to there, to this preacher, to that internet site, to that prophet. We need, again, to be coming back to his word. God, feed me, because as I feed on you, Lord, as I feed on your word, I will lack no good thing. Hallelujah. Then it goes on to say, he leads me beside quiet waters. Why quiet waters? Simply because if there's rushing waters, sheep get scared to death. They won't drink from the rushing water. Why? Because often they will get so close, they will slip in because of their spindly legs, and then their cotton coat becomes a cotton ball, and they can't swim. And so they want the calm, the peace. Jesus is the good shepherd. He leads us to living water, still water, peaceful water. Oh, my friend, some of you, I know some of you, you've come here today and you're feeling burned out. You're feeling strained by life. You're wondering, am I in the right place? Some of you may be wondering, am I in the right marriage? Some of you might be wondering, am I in the right job? Some of you are wondering, am I in the right school? And you've been worried and you've been anxious and you've been tearing apart on the inside. I want you to be encouraged this morning that Jesus, your good shepherd, is going to lead you to the place of peace and calm where the Bible says he will refresh your soul. Oh, don't you love this? He's such a good provider. He just doesn't provide us materially. He doesn't just provide for our bodies. He provides for our souls, for our minds, for our emotions. Oh, hallelujah. Philippians 4:7 says, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. We don't like that. We like the word peace. We don't like the word rule. But here's the fact. If we're going to know the peace of God, we need to submit our needs and everything to his rulership. Oh, hallelujah. He provides. He guides. You want to else know what the good shepherd does? He corrects. Say that with me. He corrects. You didn't say that with too much enthusiasm. And I don't blame you. After all, who likes to be corrected? Who likes the thought, especially some of the young people that are here, if you've done something contrary to what mom and dad said, and as a result, they correct you by taking your phone away. I'm going to die, no texting. I am not too far from having teenagers in my home that I don't remember. But the good shepherd corrects. Especially when we wander from his way. There are things in life. There are things in life that draw our attention away. Just as they do the sheep. I read this story, and maybe some of you have heard something like this before, but it bears repeating. I read an article of what some loving shepherds would do for a little lamb that would continue to wander off. It was very common for a little stupid lamb to leave the flock where he's vulnerable to wolves, or to falling off a cliff, or to getting in trouble. And the loving good shepherd would take his rod, about a two and a half foot piece of solid wood. On one hand, that rod could be used as a weapon to ward off predators, but it was also used by the shepherd to bring correction to the sheep. And this is how. When the little lamb would keep wandering off and was going to be picked off by its predators, you know what the loving shepherd would do? He would take that rod and he would crack the little lamb's leg. Now, if anyone from PETA is watching, there's more to this story, please. So wait on the emails. But this is what the good shepherd would do. He would take that little lamb, put it on his shoulders, and carry him and nurse him and love him. And all the while that little lamb couldn't walk, it would be on the shepherd's shoulders doing what animals do. And that little lamb then would grow up with the shepherd, close by, never, ever, 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 ever leaving the shepherd's sight, never leaving the place where the sheep could not be close to the shepherd's loving embrace. He would grow up totally dependent on the shepherd. And that little lamb would learn the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd would love it and pet it and bring him to the greatest places. And over a lifetime, that little lamb would become almost like a pet to the shepherd because he's been so cared for by the shepherd. And that one would never run off again. I've had people over the years say to me, I don't know why God is doing this to me. And oftentimes after discussion, I'd find out it wasn't so much what God was doing to the individual as to they were reaping the results of poor decisions. But sometimes I've come across people and they've talked to me and they've shared their testimony how they willingly wandered off. And as a result of wandering off, they had to bear the price. A broken marriage. Health concerns. And now they're walking with a limp. But they're walking with a limp as a testimony that God, by his loving grace, may have allowed my legs to be broken, but he nurtured me by the Holy Spirit. He loved me. He brought me back to health so that I can now live and walk with him in the closeness of his grace. My friends, don't ever underestimate the healing power of God's correction. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Make sense? It hurts. It's painful. But then Paul says, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness, of peace for those who have been trained by it. We have a good shepherd today. He guides us. He provides for us. And yes, he will correct us. But I want us to know this. He still protects us. Hallelujah. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because my good shepherd is with me. He leads me. He guides me. He never forsakes me. Even though I wander off, he is never so far that he's not pulling me back in. And sometimes I fight against the grain and I hurt myself as a result, but he holds on. And my friend, our loving shepherd, will never, ever, ever let us go. Hallelujah. Not only that, verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What does all this mean? Well, sheep, contrary to the pictures you brought home from Sunday school, are not pure white. When they wander, they'll get into mud puddles. They like mud puddles. They're cool, comforting, and they get dirty. And as a result of getting dirty, they'll get these little flies flying all around their head and going up their nose to their brain. And if it's allowed, sometimes those flies get right up and they'll eat the brain and cause the sheep to go absolutely stark, raving mad. Last week when we talked about Jesus as the door, one of the things that a shepherd does is when the sheep come through that door, there are two things he does. He takes his rod over the door, and as each sheep comes through, he's counting the sheep. He's making sure his sheep are there. He's identifying them. And as they come through, he investigates. He like a doctor, he's examining the sheep to make sure it's okay. And if he sees that there's any wounds there, if he sees there's any evidence of those flies that are tormenting the sheep, he will take oil and he'll not just dab the sheep, he will anoint, he will rub that oil into the head, into around its mouth, around its nose, so that those flies just slip right off. And sometimes it can feel uncomfortable. Sometimes it can feel weird. Some kinds of feeling, but my friends, sometimes when the anointing comes and we are not comfortable with it, sometimes we just have to rest in the loving hands of the shepherd who knows what he's doing, because what he's doing, he's preparing us for his anointing. He's preparing us for his blessing. He's preparing us for his healing. He's preparing us for his goodness. For surely your goodness and love will follow me, will overtake me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He protects me. It doesn't mean that physical harm may not come to me, but it means that he will be there to hold me, to protect me, to help me stand, to remind me of my living hope that Peter describes in chapter 1 of his letter, that we praise God for we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. On Friday, we're going to be hearing once again how the Good Shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, for the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him. But aren't you glad that wasn't the end of the story? That while Friday comes, Sunday's just a couple days away. And our Good Shepherd will take up his life again. So let me ask you a question. Who is your shepherd? All of us are following a shepherd. Who is yours today? Let me close with this story. A drama professor was teaching his class and said, "I want all of you to read Psalm 23. He said, "I'll go first." The drama professor, who was known as a Shakespearean actor, spoke brilliantly. His intonation was perfect. He spoke with dramatic effect as he read those famous words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He went through the whole thing. Every student at the end gave him a standing ovation. He then pointed to the front row and to a young student whom he knew was very shy, but also knew that he was a believer in Christ. And he invited him up to come and share and read the 23rd Psalm. The youth stood up, shaking from head to toe, very nervous, very afraid. He whispered a prayer to God to help him. He had just recently given his heart to Jesus. And as he started to read, the imagery came to life. And he remembered all that Jesus had done for him. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he remembered how God had provided for him when he was in need. And he started to tremble. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." He got overwhelmed with emotion. He could barely get through it through the tears. And when he did get through, no one clapped. Everyone was silent, but tears were flowing from each eye. Someone asked, "What was the difference? What made the difference?" And the drama coach just said, "I knew the 23rd Psalm. This young man knows the shepherd." Hallelujah. Every one of us has a shepherd today. Each of us has a ruling, guiding force in our lives. For some of us, it's another person. For another, it's a guiding principle or ideal. For some, it's a destructive addiction. For many of us, it's our own. We are our own shepherd. We seek to be masters of our own destiny. We choose to run our own lives. Who is your shepherd today? What kind of care does your shepherd provide you? Does he lead you in green pastures beside the still waters? Does he keep you secure in the pen, safe from the predators? Does he restore your soul? Does he guide you in paths of righteousness? You see, only Jesus, our good shepherd, can guide you and I in his paths. For his name's sake, he is the good shepherd. He is the one who lays down his life for you and I. He is the one who knows his sheep in close personal relationship. He knows you today, not just your name, not just your address, but he knows the struggle that you're experiencing today. He knows the questions that you're asking that you dare not verbalize. He knows the struggle that you're dealing with concerning whatever that addiction is. He knows what you're fearing today. He knows that you're facing an uncertain future. He knows you today. He is your good shepherd, and he won't let you down. There is no other. So the question is, if you have a shepherd, will you yield your life afresh to the good shepherd today? Revelation 7, verse 17. I love this verse. At the center of it all, believe it or not, isn't a shepherd, but it's a lamb. For the lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. Some of you are wondering, God doesn't understand what I'm going through. Why bother telling him? He knows exactly what you're going through, my friend. Because as the lamb, he was slain for you and for me. And he rose from the dead victorious. And today, he sits as the Lamb of God, who is our shepherd and our coming King. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. Roland and team, would you come back? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.